Today on the Cooligans, we're talking about Harry Kane. Is Bundesliga just a little bit too easy? He is destroying records. He is one of the most prolific goal scorers we have ever seen. But is Bundesliga the right place for him?
Plus, we talked to Casey Murphy, Jersey legend. Clean sheets all over the place. She's absolutely incredible. And for some reason, Christian brings up his dog and then puts him on camera. Also, in the third segment, we talk about the USMNT roster, baby. Christian's upset about that for some reason. And then we talk about Liverpool. Is Jamie Carragher right? Is Florian Wirtz on his way back to Bundesliga, maybe? We'll find out more on the Cooligans. All right, so I was having this conversation with my wife. You know my wife.
No, I never heard of her.
You met her.
You're married?
You met her before. Uh-huh.
Husband, I thought you were gay. Well, I thought you were a gay man.
When I say wife, I mean you. It's about time we let the people know.
I tell everybody my gay best friend, Alexis Guerreros.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Why start the conversation like this, Alexis?
Okay, but you know, okay, well, whatever. Because that's how it is in my mind. You feel me?
You think I don't know your
wife? No, I just think this is how I start a conversation in my mind. I don't think of the person I'm talking to.
Gotcha, go.
So anyway. Donna, my wife, many of you know her as D as well. She likes to do outdoorsy shit. Not like super outdoorsy. She doesn't want to go on hikes or whatever, but she likes to spend time every once in a while, like disconnect from the city. And I'm like, why would we do that? There's bugs out there. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's not really my vibe, you know? Bees. Let's start with that.
We know
how I feel about bees.
They're your biggest op.
They're my ops, bro. And let me tell you something. They're ready to fight at all times. I'm not a huge fan. So she likes to be outside. I don't know what anything is. I hear things rustling and stuff. I'm not a fan, right? So she wants to go to do something. There's a restaurant, like, you got to walk through the woods to get there. It's upstate, right? I call it the woods. Who knows? It's probably just like a front yard. But for me, it's a lot. But you got to walk through. It's unpaved. I don't own shoes that are allowed in the mud.
All shoes are allowed in the mud.
No, nope, maybe yours. Maybe yours. All right? Now, I wish I knew the Charlie Brown character that was dirty. That's what I was going to call you. I have to buy a pair of sneakers now for this.
I mean, you wouldn't, if you're going to be in like places where there's dirt or mud, you don't want sneakers. Those are not the best shoes to wear.
I'm not like, you don't climb a hill or a mountain.
Yeah, yeah.
You just walk through nature. But nature leaves stains on shoes.
That happens, yeah.
So like, what am I supposed to do? And also, it's kind of a nice place. What am I supposed to do? Do I put on galoshes to get there and take them off?
Galoshes, you get some Tims, get some ACGs.
This is what I was saying, right? But now I don't want my Tims to get dirty. I'm not a construction worker.
You just don't want to be around any situation where you have to clean your sneakers at some point.
Yes. I don't mind cleaning my sneakers, but I don't want to do something that's purposely going to make them dirty.
Sure. I mean,
what happened if you had to walk through, like, you know,
look, I mean, Alexis, if you're not going to do this for your wife, who are you going to do it for?
Here's the thing. I'm going to do it, but do I have to not complain? Is that fair to me?
I mean, if you know who you marry, you've been with her for a long time.
Yes.
She likes to go outside.
First of all,
nobody's perfect.
Here's
I guess.
A real question. How do we fix this? You know?
She wants to go outdoors.
My suggestion was there should be an Uber service for going over nature.
Just peasants that carry you over.
Give me someone with a two-person bike at least.
I just saw
there should be Uber Sherpas.
I saw this video recently of like basically like, you know, muscle men, like competition muscle men, like they physically look incredibly like large and muscular.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And whatever, and they were trying to lift like bags of concrete or something like that. And like, you know, powdered concrete. So they're trying to lift it on a wheelbarrow. And the big, big strong guys that look really, really strong can't do it. They're like struggling to do it. And then the like, the like old man strength, like just like a dude in his late 40s.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't look very strong by any means, but it's just like a man's man picks up the wheelbarrow and just moves it along. That's what you need, bro. You need a wheelbarrow.
No, I need an old man strength guy to put me in a wheelbarrow.
That's what I'm saying. He pushes you across, and this would be a service that we can get.
Can you get a two-person wheelbarrow? Make it put a seat in there, a couple seats for me and the lady.
XL wheelbarrow.
You know what I mean? And then we hold each other as this old man who doesn't look that strong, apparently walks me through nature and gets me to my, and then he's got to wait there while I
Well, of course.
Because I don't want to walk through and then get dirty.
No, you need the return trip. You know what I mean?
Can I just say something real quick? I was at a car show this weekend and they put one of my favorite cars, which is, it's called the clown shoe. That's like the nickname. It's the old Z3 M coupe, right? It's a BMW. There was one on top of like the rocks, you know, like broken up rocks outside of a factory. And when the guy went in, they asked them to move those.
You're talking about gravel?
Yes, gravel. That's the word. That's the word. That's the word.
Broken up rocks.
I forgot the word for it. So yeah, gravel. The guy walks through the gravel to get in his car. And right before he got in his car, he had both his feet out the car and he went, he banged both of his shoes to clear the... I said, that's a real car guy. And I said, see, they made him park over the gravel. He didn't want to park over the gravel.
Yeah.
They made him, because his thought is, now I got to walk over the gravel. That means I'm going to have gravel dust in the whip.
Yeah.
You never want to have gravel dust in the whip.
I mean, this is very, very first world problem kind of a thing.
Sure.
You know, shoes get
I don't got first world money, but yes, I'll take first world problems.
Some people don't even have shoes, Alexis.
Wow. Dude, can we get a wah, 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 wah?
That's my, I'm a guilt
when
you.
When did this world hurt you, Christian?
I'm a guilt you like your mom, bro. Finish your food.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
I never had to be yelled at to do it, by the way.
All right. Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerreros.
Hot show today.
Oh, boy. Is it?
We got Champions League.
Oh!
We got U.S. Open Cup Final.
Yeah!
We got a USMNT roster drop.
Oh, damn.
And, of course, we're going to be chatting with Casey Murphy, the goalkeeper for the North Carolina Courage, and won an Olympic gold medal as well. So we'll be talking to her in a little bit, but let's start.
All of that on... Let's go.
Yes, they contractually were required to do all those sounds when we mention Yahoo Sports.
Listen, we get a bonus for every... And if you think I'm not going to... Sure. Even your own. Yeah,
it might be annoying, but you want to take money out of our pocket?
Wow.
Damn, bro. I can't believe you.
Wow. I didn't know you was pocket watching. I also didn't know you was pocket hating.
Damn, I can't believe it. All right. Let's start today with some Champions League stuff, but Harry Kane in particular.
Buddy, Harry Kane just broke two more records. He's having a wonderful time in Bundesliga, which begs the question.
Yes.
Is Bundesliga too easy for Harry Kane? And that's why it's today's top topic, which is brought to you by Buchanan's, presented by Buchanan's Blended Scotch Whiskey, an official FIFA World Cup 26 supporter. Nos vamos al Mundial with a Bucanita in hand.
This is the top topic.
All right. So, Bundesliga, is this a little too easy for Harry Kane?
So it's a fair question, only because
it almost feels rude.
It feels rude. I know. And the Bundesliga folk that we went on a trip with are probably not upset at this. Yeah. of us asking this question.
How could they be upset? We put up a scarf for a dude sniffing a foot. It's all for you.
Don't be mad. But when it comes to world-class players, we want world-class players to play at world-class clubs in world-class leagues. We want to see the best competition. You know, in reality, we can't take away anything from Harry Kane or anybody who scores a whole bunch of goals in any kind of league. I mean, this sort of feels a little bit like the conversation of, with Pelé. Like, they would be like, oh, he scored against Farmers and who knows how many goals he really scored. But, you know, he would have said, like, yo, I scored all these goals. They all go in the record book. So, right. But is it too...
A goal is a goal is a goal.
Exactly. Is it too easy? Part of me feels, and because, we don't know if Harry Kane is going to be staying with Bayern Munich after this season, there's a little bit...
He was asked about it.
Yeah. Do we have the quote?
We have the quote.
Yeah. We'll pull it up. But it's something where, as a football fan... we got the quote right there. Harry Kane, this was from Fabrizio Romano. He says, Harry Kane on his future links with return to England. He said, quote, no, I'm not thinking about Premier League return at the moment. I'm really happy here. I have 2 years left on my contract. I'm enjoying every moment. Bayern is the best place to win trophies. Absolutely. And there's nothing wrong with that.
That last sentence, though, is a little louder than the rest of the statement.
Yes, you will. If you play at Bayern, you will win a trophy. That doesn't necessarily mean that is easy to do that. They have to play all the games. You got to win. They didn't win anything there in his first year. They didn't even win the the like community shield. I forgot what is the Super Cup. I think it's the first.
Yeah.
The
it's probably got like a 48 letter word,
right? Yeah. But they even that one in his first game for Bayern didn't had an opportunity to win a trophy and did not. So they won the trophy. They won the season last season, and that's it. You get the praise. You get the
he was elated. Yeah, and you should be right. You won this your first trophy of a storied career, something you were missing. But the question is it a little too easy? And I get what you're saying, right? Because as a fan of the sport, you say, like, that's the best defender. But I wonder how they would do against blank, the right. best striker, right? So, like, even...
I want to see Godzilla versus Mothra.
Right. Not, I was wondering what you were going to say there.
not Godzilla versus, you know, Mario and Luigi.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, well, that's not that difficult, bro. Just hide in the pipe. for me, I look at this and I say... Imagine back in the day, you'd be like, oh, I wonder how Lamine Yamal would do against Maldini. You know sure. what I mean? Like that type of thing. You're asking that of current players. Maybe being in Bundesliga, you're not facing the Virgil van Dijk's. You know what I mean? You're not facing the William Saliba's. You know, you're not facing, you know, the top level defender. You're facing a level of defender that maybe you can score a little easier on. And I think the stats might hold up. We have the stats of his goals and assists in Bundesliga versus his goals and assists during his time at Premier League.
Yeah, let's bring that up. So, look, this season, just to begin, so Harry Kane, he became the fastest player from Europe's top five leagues to reach 20 goal contributions for a club at the start of the season, beating Lionel Messi's record, which he set in his Ballon d'Or winning year in 2011.
So he's having a great start to the year. And look, this is nothing against him. But if you look at his time, this is goals and assists. His time in Bundesliga so far, 1.86 per 90.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's a crazy number.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
It's fantastic.
He's basically doing a lot.
He's doing everything.
Just for being on the pitch. And when you look at his like heat maps, his heat maps are like, kind of all over.
He goes deep to deep to get the ball. He's much more influential throughout the game with the other forwards than just the guy who scores. But look at how influential he is. 1.86 goals and assists. This is just his time in Bundesliga at Bayern Munich. Go back to his time at Tottenham. It was half 0.87 goals and assists,
which is still pretty good.
But this is very good. Yeah. It's good. But yo.
Yeah.
What? I've never played Mario Kart. What's the thing that makes you go faster?
The star.
Oh, the star.
Yeah.
He's playing on a star right now. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's the point I'm making. It's like, it feels like, yo, maybe this level is just a little too easy for you.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't consider the plaudits he's getting. Maybe we don't consider the trophies he's winning. And we being the general public, like the royal we, maybe there's something about this where it feels like, yeah, you won a trophy, but did you?
I mean, and it sounds rude to say that because I'm even thinking as you're saying that, does it diminish?
Does it take away anything?
Harry Kane is one of the most prolific goal scorers we have ever seen. But if you want to be one of the most prolific likers of YouTube videos, hit the like button right now. It helps us out quite a bit.
That he's doing it in Bundesliga.
I'm
not saying Bundesliga is bad. I'm saying he's that good.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like, this doesn't apply to every player. We can't. This isn't not. You know, I'm not saying this about.
Yeah, like maybe Florian Wirtz should go back to Bundesliga.
I mean, look at the stats. There's a lot of zeros now.
I'm just saying. Well, I'm no Jamie Carragher, but I'm just saying. We'll talk about it. Don't worry about it.
So, does it diminish anything? I think that there's a lot of people's interests in mind here, right?
What about you?
So from the fan perspective. I'm gonna do the same thing that we do with like USMNT. Like I want to see the American players playing in like tough leagues so that they come back when they're on international duty. They are like a hardened people and they can be better for the national team. With Harry Kane, I don't think this helps necessarily.
You're
with
right.
His contributions.
You
with
don't
the
need to be playing. You're Harry Kane.
You're Harry Kane. Exactly.
You're gonna be all right.
You're gonna be fine. So I don't think it helps or necessarily hurts that much. I think the but just from that selfish perspective, I think he is such a prolific goal scorer, and for him to be able to do that at the Premier League, which is the, I mean the they have the most money, the highest talent is spread throughout that league. So you're, even if one is playing 20, it's like, it's still, you know, like,
there's
whatever.
There's a level of parity.
Liverpool and Arsenal and Man City still have a tough time playing against Wolves or West Ham. I mean, they're not scoring 5-6 goals.
Yeah, or Monaco.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's a bit of a challenge. And I selfishly would like to see him back so he can compete at that level. And I think he still has, plenty to offer that level. But and only speaking for him, I'm just like, I'm going to do the same thing that people do with Pelé. I'm going to be like, I mean, yeah, 1.86, got all these goals. But it's like he did it in Bundesliga. And it's not fair to him necessarily. And there's nothing fair about this assessment.
Right. And look, when we're saying Bundesliga as a league, we know there's an incredible amount of talent there. We know that it's an incredibly fun league. And some would say wildly better atmospheres than you're going to find in any Premier League.
We have a blast
stadium. It's an absolute incredible. The median, right? The drop-off is much more severe for the lower half of the table for Bundesliga teams than in Premier League, which, as you said, because of the amount of money you get for even getting promoted into the Premier League, you're able to pay players at a higher level. You're able to get the best talent in the Premier League. So here's what I'll say. Bundesliga maybe is a little too easy, but I don't know if that's a bad thing. I look at PSG. Ligue 1 has been called a farmer's league over and over. They don't have the money to pay. They try their hardest to compete with even the likes of Bundesliga. For the most part, they're developing talent or they're finding talent that other clubs or other leagues haven't found, right? And I think the Ligue 1 is an incredible place to develop talent. Not always the place to develop champions, but you look at PSG and what they've been able to do. Maybe there's something to be said for, hey, man, maybe you don't have to go to war every weekend in order to put yourself in the best position to win a Champions League. Maybe having those moments where you could take your foot off the gas just a little bit. Every once in a while, you play a team that maybe comes out with a lot of heart and soul, but after about 60 minutes, you kind of figure them out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And maybe you can kind of take it. Maybe there's a little bit of longevity that's added, especially with the amount of congestion and calendar congestion that's happening for a lot of these players. Maybe that's actually a good thing to preserve your players for a run in Champions League. And that's why I think if we're going to say Bundesliga is too easy, then the reason I say that and why I kind of agree is because you need to show me you can do that at the highest level. And the only time Harry Kane gets the highest level on a week in and week out basis is when he's in Champions League. So for me, you need to win Champions League. You need to be the top scorer in Champions League. You need to be the same guy you can be in Bundesliga. Take that 1.8, do it in Champions League.
Sure.
If you could do that in Champions League, then all of a sudden I believe,
he did it against Paphos.
I mean, honestly, I applaud you for beating the best team in Cyprus. But can you do it week in and week out when you're asked to do it at the highest level? Do you think Harry Kane needs to win Champions League to prove this was the right move for him? Or is the Bundesliga trophies that he's won enough?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's already proved this the right move for him because the...
You don't put a little asterisk on some of these trophies?
No, because he... I mean, what club did he leave? A very underachieving...
Won a European trophy, though.
Yes.
Without him.
Yes. I mean, yeah. Not that they won it in commanding fashion or anything.
No. So, hey, listen, if I stumble backwards into a scratch-off, if I bust my ass and I look over and there's $100,
yeah,
I got $100.
I think for him as an individual, I think it was the right decision. He went to a better, more successful team with a better, just a less chaotic atmosphere, just more, a little bit more consistency. And he hadn't had that in most of his career. And I think that is from a personal perspective. That's why I'm like, I don't fault Harry Kane for going to Bundesliga or going to Bayern Munich in particular. It's because he immediately gets there and he is the best player. And he is just... you can even know everybody from in Bayern in Munich was like, thank you for choosing us. Like, what an incredible thing you've done for us. So I think there's an awareness of like, let's appreciate him while he's here. And it's similar to, I think, what PSG, I think when you have a player like Harry Kane, then the expectations are immediately shot up. And similar to what PSG, we all know nothing matters besides Champions League. And they finally got that elusive trophy, and the investment and the money was all in the focus to win that Champions League, whether oil and where the money came, whatever. But Bayern is like, as soon as you get a player like Harry Kane, it's like, all right, well, now what can we win? Let's really go for it. And then obviously it takes a season like Bayer Leverkusen having an invincible season to dethrone Bayern Munich. But now it's looking like we're all kind of back to normal. We're going back to Bayern, you know, setting another run.
And I give Bayern a lot of credit because you had to convince Harry Kane to go there. You had to convince Harry Kane, yo, this is the right place for you. And you did a great job. And it seems like a fun place to be. But I guess let us know, you know, tell us in the comments, what do you think?
Yeah. I think they, overall, and when he looks back on his career, I mean, I don't think he's going to have any regret whatsoever. I know there are, you know, he's saying like, oh, I have my contract and all this other stuff. But I think if they win Champions League or maybe gets another trophy or something like that, I think the right move is to come back. Obviously, you know, I think we spoke about this a little bit before.
46 goals.
To break the record.
That takes like three. At his age, it's going to take 3 seasons. Do you think he still has 3 seasons after these 2?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Yes. He's unbelievable. He's one of the greatest strikers I've ever seen in our lifetime.
I mean, I would love to see if he could keep his game going into, what, 40s at this point?
We'll see.
How old will he be?
I mean, he's doing all right. All right. Let's take a quick break, but we have to chat with the one and only Casey Murphy. We had a lot to discuss, some goalkeeping stuff, and we got to talk about our dogs well. So we'll be right back with Casey Murphy.
Christian, I mean, how many amazing guests can we get on this show?
it does not end. Absolutely thrilled to be joined by our next guest. We have an Olympic champion coming through.
Okay.
I'm not gonna wear my gold medal to just I don't want to make this about me or us or anything like that. But
which
I
is cool that you bought yourself a 3D printer to make one. But the person we're about to have on actually earned one. Sorry, we're about to have a player who earned one, Christian. Absolutely incredible. Has played overseas, has played here. I'm from Newark, New Jersey. She's from just outside of Newark in a much nicer area. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only Jersey legend, Rutgers legend, the one and only Casey Murphy, everybody!
Casey, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for the intro. I'm flattered. Thank you so much. Absolutely. I actually have the gold medal right behind me.
Oh, there it is.
There it is.
Hey, accidentally, you know how it is. You just turn your neck every couple seconds as you answer questions.
If I move, there's just a drawing of me a little bit fatter than I actually am. not as great.
Casey Murphy, thank you so much for joining us. It is an absolute honor. I want to start with that Olympic medal behind you, because over the years we've been doing our show, and it's been one of the things that we've always appreciated, especially after the U.S. Women's National Team, they celebrate differently than I think, you know, a lot of, like the men's national team, we don't necessarily get to see tremendous victories with trophies like World Cups and stuff like that. We have domestic things like that. But there's something when, you know, we saw it during the World Cup, the 2019 World Cup, the celebrations were epic. And I think we still see those videos from time to time. How were the celebrations? Because whether somebody scored in the final or whether they were supportive on the bench, that didn't, determine how much you partied and how much you celebrated. So what were those celebrations like?
Yeah, they were fun. obviously, we dream about the moment of winning gold medal, all of us. And so when it actually happens, it's like, oh my gosh, you actually don't know how to act. It's just like everything you've ever wanted, basically. But yeah, on the bench, it's almost even more nerve-wracking because you've done all you can do to help the team prepare, and you're just on the sideline cheering everyone on, and there's not much you can do in the moment to help us score or help us make a save. But when the keeper makes the save or someone scores a goal, you're just so excited for everyone, and all that hard work paying off. It's just amazing.
Do you, obviously there's a lot of competition between goalkeepers, but when you're part of the training, your job is to make sure that everyone's level is at as high as possible, right? Everyone's competing and playing at the highest possible level. Are you also low key being like, hey, get out there and do well, because I need to bring home a medal here, all right?
I mean, you're so lofted on your routine to like be at your best. Like, I feel like by my 9th, 10th season as a pro now, I know what it takes for me to play at a high level. So I'm so focused on doing everything I can to make sure I'm at my best for practice. So that's helping everyone else get better. But yeah, like you're hoping, you know, everyone comes and performs, but you also like, you know what it's like to be a professional athlete. There's going to be bumps. There's going to be mistakes. There's going to be ups and downs. And so it's just helping your team through all of those moments. It's a lot, but it's rewarding in the end.
Yeah, all right. And you're, no, by the way, no slouch. I believe you are the record holder for clean sheets at Rutgers.
Yeah, I think I might have that record. I'm not exactly sure, but it'd be cool if I still had it. There's been a lot of amazing goalkeepers after me as well, so we'll have to fact check that.
Yeah, we had Sam Coffey on a couple of weeks ago, and she's a New York soccer representative, which where I'm from, New York. Alexis from New Jersey. So even, you know, you don't really hear a lot of players coming out of the New York area, whether it's upstate or not or whatever. But New Jersey has just such an incredible rich history with soccer. And I think did your parents didn't play soccer, right? They didn't come, right?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the inspiration, you know, to not only just play soccer, but then get into goalkeeping. We've had plenty of goalkeepers on the show. We've befriended plenty of them. Different type of person. This is a unique individual that maybe, I don't know what traits like this particular job where you can take it into something else, because it is a certain kind of fearlessness that you don't necessarily find amongst the other field players. So what about, you know, goalkeeping, you know, that attracted you to it? And then what you from New Jersey, what is the New Jersey-ness in your goalkeeping that might come out that maybe other goalkeepers don't have?
Loaded question. Yeah. definitely a good one, though. I feel like talking to people from New Jersey and New York, I want to just like let go of my humble like self right now and just like talk crap and like. But no, I gotta keep it professional, obviously. But yeah, just talking to you guys, it's so refreshing. I feel like people from New York and New Jersey, like they get one another, and it is a different breed, but also that's like what goalkeeping is. It's, you gotta be kind of one of a kind and a little bit different. And, it's a lonely position for sure, but, it's also really cool to come up big in a big moment for your team. And, but what like drew me to it from a young age was just like, it was fun. And that's what I have to remind myself when I'm playing in front of 50,000 people, that like, just remember how fun it was when you were 10 years old, just trying to keep a ball in the net and not trying to overcomplicate things and keep it simple. And so you have to reconnect to that often, because you can kind of lose sight of that when the pressure starts to build. But yeah, my parents didn't play soccer, so they kind of just threw me into all different sports, and this one just stuck because I was tall, I was kind of good at it, and then I just, like, had this, like, attitude of just, like, wanting to be the best from a young age because I was super competitive, and that's definitely what helped me get to the level I'm at is, like, I hate losing. Like, they knew not to talk to me after a loss. I was probably miserable to be around, but it was just, like, that attitude of, like, Don't mess with me. I don't want to lose.
I saw the U.S. Soccer. You did a video with U.S. Soccer, and they were interviewing your parents. And in that moment about how competitive you were, I could tell they were like, oh, boy, we've been through a lot with this girl.
She's kind of nonstop. She's going to win.
So, yeah, they mentioned
very resilient.
Board games, almost any competitive activity at all that you were very not comfortable losing at all.
You mentioned
I don't know
other...
what it was, but it's just something in my blood. Maybe it's the water in Jersey or something.
There we go.
But...
it's got to be. The water's good. It makes you aggressive. In fact, one of my favorite things is when I find out goalkeepers are from New Jersey. You know what, like, you let a goal go and you see a goalkeeper start yelling at the back line? That's just what we do at a supermarket when someone's taking too long in the deli section.
Exactly.
We do that in traffic all day. If you're from that area, that's just how we're built. We're natural for that. But you mentioned other sports, Casey. And being that you did have a bit of a growth spurt, right, and you were tall when you were young, how much were, because soccer, obviously, especially the women's game is a little different, but it feels like other sports are always like, come play us. How hard were the basketball coaches trying to get you to be like, enough with that goalkeeper? How about you and your four best friends come win over here?
The gloves, they get sweaty. You want to be sweaty. You
don't grass. Have you seen it? There's bugs in there. Come out. Come inside. Air conditioning.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I played basketball up until eighth grade, and I would have played in high school too. But again, that coach was like, you're either going to play basketball or you're going to play soccer. You have to pick one or the other. And I'm like, I'm going to pick soccer. And she didn't like that I was going to have to miss for basketball practice for soccer. So I was just kind of like, screw it. I have to stick with soccer. That's where my heart's at. But I would have loved to continue to play in high school. It just didn't work out though.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious about the connection and attraction to goalkeeping, because I play in my Sunday league. I would say I like get more like of an endorphin rush when I get an assist versus getting a goal. But for goalkeepers, there must be a obviously when you make an incredible save, that must be great too. But there's also this feeling, and I've never asked a goalkeeper about this, when your defenders come up to you and are like, thank you, Casey. Great job. Well, there's a wave of appreciation that's so instant that is like, but it's instant. And then it's like, all right, corner kick, you know, you gotta like appreciate it and then get right back to work. What is that endorphin rush in that moment when you make the save and when everybody's like, thank you, you saved my ass. I needed you right there.
I love those compliments. Like, I try not to show like that they mean like that they're awesome and they mean so much. I try and play it cool. Like, oh yeah, I got this. I've done this before a million times, but they always mean so much, especially when they're like, Casey, I don't know how you do it. Like, how do you do this? And I'm thinking in my head, I don't know how you guys do what you do. But yeah, high fives, like, and,
well, hey,
and
don't I don't want to do what I do. Please don't put me in the situation to do what I do.
You know what would be cool is if I didn't have to make a last gasp save there, guys. So could you do your job?
I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, when they let up shots or crosses, I'm like yelling at them to not let up a shot or cross. But deep down inside, I'm like, oh, that was awesome. Thanks for letting me have my moment for a second.
Okay. Hey, you said you look at the behind the net, you look at the photographers. Hey, you got that. You got that one.
Yeah.
You're like, guys, exactly. Play a little better. But also, do you see how good I am when you don't? God, it's good. I want to ask you a little bit because obviously you get drafted out of college, all right, and you're going to stay local, but you decide to go play in Montpellier, right? Mm-hmm. And when you go to France, was there a culture shock? Do you think you were ready for it? Because I know you played for a couple different PDAs and travel teams and whatnot. Were you prepared for that moment? How much of a culture shock did it take? I'm sure France and Central Jersey are exactly the same, but talk to me about that.
Yeah, culture shock for sure. Like, didn't even know what I was getting myself into. I got an email saying this Champions League team needed a goalkeeper. And within 2 weeks, I was leaving college and on the flight to France by myself to this team that I didn't really know much about, honestly. I just knew that they were a top team in France and that they needed a keeper and that they were in Champions League. And so that was enough to sell me. And I got there and there was no Americans on the team. None of the staff spoke English. Living by myself. I'm used to living with six roommates in New Brunswick, 20 minutes from home. Yeah. A lot different from the countryside of France. I had an apartment on top of this little crepe restaurant. And it did smell great. But like, people are sitting down to eat at like 10 p.m. and I'm like, in my pajamas, going to bed, and I'm like, it's so loud downstairs, and they're just eating dinner. I'm like, what's going on?
What is French for? Shut up, I have training in the morning.
Exactly. So I'm this 20-year-old kid just like trying to figure my way through France. I literally got like every speeding ticket, parking ticket, car towed, pulled off the tram, like just didn't know anything. Damn. About transportation.
Casey,
in different
Casey
country.
Criminal record in France?
Yeah. I'm probably banned from that country. I just don't know about it yet.
Casey's like, oh, I thought this was like England. We don't drive on that side of the road. I was wondering what cars were coming at me. That's crazy.
My first day of having a car, I got it towed somehow just because I couldn't read the sign that said no parking here. So
but this is
it was just
a thing we don't really, a lot of people don't know about that. I mean, you know, players want the opportunity to play abroad and get all these opportunities, but it's like very practical life things, especially when you're that young. You're also, this is all new to you, and then you're doing it in a different country, that you don't speak the language. So I'm sure.
I'm also getting the sense that Casey would be getting her card towed if she played in New York City versus Montpellier at that time. She's just like, I'm not paying attention to signs. It's not in my language. You deal with it. I stole two crepes this morning.
I'm focused on soccer.
I'm here now. But the New York signs could be confusing. There's like three on top of each other. I'm like, is it yesterday that I can't park or today or what time or midnight? It's very confusing as well.
My family and friends just always say, like, I live in this bubble of, like, soccer, and, like, I have no idea what goes on outside the world other than the soccer bubble. And so when I got to France, that really just was, like, beaming to me to be true. So now I've learned a lot of lessons from that. Yeah.
So now I'm, as far as goalkeeping and especially with the national team, obviously – Alyssa Nair retiring is obviously a retiring from the national team is a I mean, obviously you get a little, now the spot is definitely a lot more kind of in sight. What are the things that you think about and focus on to try to be that number one U.S. Women's National Team goalkeeper? You've had obviously a lot of great showings in She Believes Cup and in past friendlies and stuff like that. But how do you lock in now? What's on your mind?
Yeah, I feel like the biggest thing that I struggled with, like, as a younger pro to now is just, like, I've always, like, wanted to be this perfect goalkeeper, and I really had to shift my mindset to progress over perfection. And while I want to be literally a 10 out of 10 every single practice, I've kind of just learned to release that expectation, and it's still my goal to be 10 out of 10 in every practice, but it's something I strive for, and it's not something I get all worked up about if it doesn't happen every single practice. But yeah, I think that I'm just so focused on how I can continue to grow as a goalkeeper, as a teammate, off the field, who I am, and that kind of just that day-to-day routine I've so nailed in now of what I need to do to get to where I want to get to. Just staying consistent with that is the biggest thing, and what I strive to do to get to that next level.
Even hearing you explain that, I can sense the level of competitiveness that you are, where you're like, I need to maybe not be 10 out of 10 in practice. I've never once even thought of being a 6 out of 10 in practice. You know, I'm like, they get what I do. I don't need to do it every day. I can't even, like, it's hard for me to even wrap my mind around it. Like, what is something your family just doesn't want to do with you? Like, are you like this, like making gingerbread houses at Christmas? Like, are you like, we're building an extension, you know? Like, is it every little thing you're like this?
Yeah, it's like, you know, Yahtzee, rummy, car games, just like really just anything. They're just like, oh, it's so annoying, Casey. You're so good at that. Like, of course she won that. And
you're playing Monopoly. You bring a hard hat and a tool belt. You're like, we're building hotels everywhere.
Exactly. Yeah, actually just played Monopoly for the first time, like, a few weeks ago in like over 10 years. And I was like, this is a dangerous game for me because this is a 4-hour span of competitiveness.
Jeez. Casey becomes an oil baron. She's just a ruthless capitalist. Like, hey.
She's got a cigar. She's like, how about this week, do 3 jails? No chance.
Yeah. Well, everyone's like trying to bargain with me. I'm like, just shut up. I'm not, you're not going to convince me otherwise right now.
And I believe, is it your fiance or husband? I don't know if you're married.
Husband.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I had seen that he's a track and field athlete. So, yeah. I mean, this is the perfect couple. I mean, this you guys are competing at. I'm sure you're timing each other for different chores and things like that. So I imagine that's what probably drew you to him, the competitive nature of your relationship.
Yeah, honestly, like, we have to like tone down the competitiveness at home. It's better. It's definitely better when we're on the same team versus when we're not on the same team.
Gotcha.
So we've learned that, like, if we're going to play pickleball, it's definitely better for us to play together than to play against each other, just because we do have to sleep next to each other every night for the rest of our lives. And yeah, so we are very competitive, but I try to tone it down a little bit in the marriage. It doesn't always happen, but
gotcha.
I try to.
What's his thing that he can win? Because you seem to me like the kind of athlete that would probably win most. You got a gold medal behind your head. It seems like you have a lot of things where you're like, oh, I one-upped you here. Is there one thing that he's like really good at that he gets you on?
You know, I feel like I let him have his things.
Got it. You keep the peace.
I let him have like the cars and the yard and the garbage. Like you control all of that. Like
wow, yeah.
That is all you. That's for you to win.
That's what I meant.
And be the best at.
Do the man stuff.
Casey's
you know,
like, look, I'll win the gold medals. You handle the garbage. It's 50-50.
So I know, and I know another thing you guys share is is it two dogs? You have two dogs?
Yeah, we have two dogs. Yep.
Okay, and then so I heard that one of your dogs, I hope that's correct, but is you're training your dog to be a therapy dog?
Yeah, one of our dogs just got certified to be a therapy dog.
Amazing. So
what does that mean?
So basically, like
your dog's not giving
me
a massage, right?
Not a massage. I mean,
not yet. Just, like, we can maybe train it too.
Psychological counseling, you know what I mean? Really help me fix my relationship with my dad. What was your dog going to do?
Your dog's got a notebook and a smoking pipe.
Honestly, these are all amazing ideas. I kind of wish, like now, when I tell you, it's not going to sound anything like nearly as cool as what you just said, but... just taking it to nursing homes or hospitals and, you know, bringing him in, basically like knocking on the door and being like, hi, this is Nash. He's 5 years old. He's a therapy dog. Would you like a pet visit? Walk Nash in, have him sit, like learning how to have him sit, what he can do, what he can't do. And just trying to see if that like brings a smile to people. Golden retrievers are kind of like a likable dog. So hopefully they just, you know, he loves... It's funny, like, we bring him to a dog park, and he's, like, hanging out with all of the owners and the people, and so we're like, this dog is perfect for therapy. Like, he just wants to hang out with people the whole time, so.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's really cool.
It must feel a little bit strange when people are like, I want to hang out with your dog, Casey. You can, you were 50-50, but your dog, mad chill.
Yeah, can I pay your dog
like,
to
great.
Hang out with
like,
me?
Like, can you watch him next weekend when I'm gone for my game?
Got it. That's the move.
There you go. Drop him off at a nursing home. This is perfect.
I have a golden doodle, and I don't think he would be very good for therapy. Maybe he might.
No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't, Casey. He wouldn't.
He would... If you need the kind of therapy where like your love language is touch, this is your dog, right? Where he wants to jump on people, he wants to be pet, he wants that immediate connection, especially if you're like a new person. That's the one thing where it's been difficult to train out of him the constant sort of need for affection, especially for when people walk in the door. But your dog seems like, nobody's ever looked at my dog and be like, yo, this is good. I could just talk to you, dog. Like that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I feel like my dog is like good at meeting people where they're at. Like if I like come home from a weekend where we lost and I'm like sad, like he'll just like lay next to me. If I'm like coming in all excited and happy and celebrating a gold medal, like he's going to jump up and down with me. So I think that's like a strong quality of his. He just meets people where they're at.
It's a beautiful thing. My wife for a very long time was an oncology nurse at a cancer hospital here in New York. And a lot of times they would bring therapy dogs in. Or I didn't know they were therapy dogs. I just know that they were dogs specific that would make patients feel better and give them someone to play with. So it's really cool that you did that. Did that just come from seeing your dog sort of be good with other humans? Or is that sort of kind of something that you really like? Something that you want to sort of give back to the community?
Yeah, my husband and I started a goalkeeping academy called CMGK. And so we go around to different places and do one day soccer clinics. And we're thinking about how we can incorporate more of a like community service branch to the business. And we were like, wait, we have a dog that's literally perfect for like kids and people. And so we just kind of brainstormed and that's what we came up with. And we just went through that process of having him try out. And we were pretty nervous for the tryouts. He had to pass like three different observations and he almost didn't pass because they can't do the licking, but we were able to start to control that a little bit better and he ended up passing. So
it would be rough to fail a test and be like, you lick too much.
Almost happened to me when I got a job in corporate America. I was like, no, look, I know. This is how I say hello. I lick your cheek.
Okay. I'm trying to rise through the ranks. Yeah. That's all.
Buddy, I'm trying to be in a corner office here. That's really cool that you also do goalkeeping academies. Do you travel around the country or do you stay pretty local?
Yeah, we travel. We always got to do one in Jersey because that's our OG.
Let's go.
Favorite place to have one. And then we've done a few in Raleigh, a few in Austin. We want to definitely do a few different new locations in the new year. So yeah, we just keep expanding and trying to get to as many markets as we can. But there's only so many weekends we get, obviously. Sure. But yeah, it's been awesome so far.
A couple years ago, we had Jillian Loydon. You know Jillian Loydon?
Yeah. I love Jill.
She was on our show. It had to be already like 7 years ago, and I think she was like the first goalkeeping coach that we spoke to that had an academy. I think hers is based in New Jersey as well, I think.
Mm-hmm. TKI.
Yeah, right.
TKI. It's where I train in the off season.
Amazing.
It's the Keeper Institute. Yeah. It's an amazing place. Yeah.
And there's I think at the time when we spoke to her, we just really didn't obviously goalkeeping is an incredibly technical activity. It's almost a completely different sport than soccer, right? I mean, you have different conversations. You have the coaching staff is different. How much is the like sort of day to day from like a goalkeeping staff to the rest of the team? Like, do you feel part of it? Like, do you feel part of the team and any team you are? Like, it is an interesting thing because it's such.
I mean, even your jersey's different.
It's true. Ours is long sleeve. Theirs is short sleeve. Yeah. Everything is different. There's some times where I'm like, I totally get why it's called a goalkeeper union, because a lot of times it's just you and the other goalkeepers and the goalkeeper coach. But you know, a lot of the teams I've been on do incorporate the goalkeepers in the team training, as early as they can to have the goalkeepers incorporated in. But for sure, you're going out early. A lot of times you're staying after practice. A lot of times, just the goalkeepers, usually the goalkeeper coach does, you know, the goalkeeping and a lot of times the set pieces. So you're spending a lot of time with them going over that stuff. But yeah, there's times where it's just us and we're going out and the team's doing regen or something else. But it is what it is. I'm so used to it now.
I've never asked the goalkeeper this, but have you ever been watching someone on your team score like a free kick or a crazy goal and you're celebrating, but also because you're part of that goalkeeper union, in the back of your head, you're thinking, man, she caught a bad beat on that one, man. I know she's better than that. Or like, oh, I would have hated it if that happened to me. You ever have that mixed emotion?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah. I think more so when I'm watching on my couch, not necessarily in the game I'm playing.
Sure.
And I'm like, thinking to the other keeper, like, you deserve that. No, but when I'm home on my couch and I'm watching another keeper, I'm like, oof, that's tough. Or oof, that's happened to me before. I feel you. Like, there's only goalkeepers can understand what it feels like to make a mistake in a big moment or to make a huge save in a big moment. And so I definitely feel for keepers.
I always remember the Tim Howard talking about this, of the time when he scored when he was at Everton. So he a long free kick. It was incredibly windy. It took a crazy bounce and the wind carried the ball into the goal. And he didn't celebrate the goal. And he always talked about how, like, if that would have happened to me, like, he scored a goal for his team as a goalkeeper and refused to celebrate because it was like he cared that much for his opponent, the opposing goalkeeper, that he wouldn't want to celebrate. But the other thing I want to ask you is Alexis just mentioned like free kicks. When your team is taking a free kick, is it appropriate to, like, as the goalkeeper, to be like, hey, I see how they're setting up this wall, go do this? Like, do you just stay back there, or do you feel like you can contribute to help from the perspective of a goalkeeper of how to help with this free kick? Or is that something, you know, that's Roosevelt's really good at that. Let me not bother her.
Great question. So on the training ground, yeah, I think like if my teammate's coming up and taking like a penalty on me and I'm like easily able to read them, I'm going to like just give them a quick like I'm going to tell them real quick, hey, let's just work on this, because I think it's easy for this to be saved in the game. for free kicks, I feel like at least like my teammates now, they're so skilled, and I don't know if there's any advice I could give them that they don't already know, but on the training ground maybe, but in the game it's so loud. They're on the other 18, so I'm not going to be screaming because then the other team would hear that messaging anyway. But
you're not going to run 80 yards and go contribute some advice?
No. Maybe one time, but
sure.
Definitely not the norm.
All right.
My question is, you mentioned Jersey a couple of times, and I keep thinking about this because Christian, for a very short period of time, lived in New Jersey. But Christian also doesn't really care about food either, so this might be tough. But if you had a friend that was moving to New Jersey for the first time, they've never visited, what do you think is the number one restaurant, food, something that you think this will teach you everything you need to know about Jersey? This is what it means to be from Jersey.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the first stop, you have to go and get like a bacon, egg and cheese or something like from a deli, a bagel shop. And you have to just like experience what that's like to have like a good bagel, cream cheese, whatever you want on it. And then I feel like for dinner, you have to go the Italian route and you have to do pizza and pasta and you know, chicken parm, whatever it is. I live in North Carolina now and the Italian here sucks. And so it's just like, it's like not comparable to New Jersey. And so whenever we go and play Gotham, it's like, I have to eat as many bagels and as much pizza as I can for 48 hours.
I love you are, I don't know, I didn't look to see what part of New Jersey you are from, but you are the bagel. You're a bagel Jersey person.
That is rare.
That
I know
is
you're
rare.
From
you don't get many
Bridgewater,
of these.
Bridgewater, New Jersey. They must have cleaner water than the rest of us because we say bagel.
We are bagel.
I don't know. Maybe it's these AirPods. I sound funny on them.
No. All good.
Is it Taylor ham or pork roll?
Yeah, so I say Taylor ham, but my husband says pork roll.
Pork roll is such a mistake. Wait, is he from South
water
Jersey?
Water ice, Italian ice, that.
Mm-hmm. Is he from South Jersey?
He's South Jersey, yeah, closer to Philly, yep.
Okay, and then I saw you talk about this, but I want to make sure we ask you. Alex Morgan, her final penalty in her final game, you stopped it. And I think for a lot of people, I'll just give you the context. As comics who love a good story, who love a good joke, who love irony, who can appreciate, you know, not necessarily sort of the happiest ending, there is an interesting aspect of like you being the person to stop a penalty for someone who is obviously incredibly beloved and has an incredible contribution to American soccer. But there, when I think of just, you know, we've been speaking for the last 25 minutes, the competitive Casey Murphy, it's like, I don't care who you are, Alex Morgan. I got to stop this penalty. I'm sorry, with all due respect. I appreciate everything you've done, but I got to do what I got to do. So what did it feel to stop that penalty and also be involved in the kind of, not quote unquote ruining the moment, but you know what I mean? Like just being a competitor and never shutting that off.
Yeah, it's one of those things where my team actually doesn't give up a lot of penalties in the year. So it was just like ironic that we happened to give it up a penalty for the first time that season against Alex's team in her final game. Like it was all just like so crazy in the short amount of time that she was going to be playing that game, and honestly not much was going through my head before the PK. Obviously like usually when we give a penalty I'm like, I'm gonna save this, like I got this. Not much was going through my head, and then I saved it. I was just like reflecting on it afterwards. I was like, wasn't really expecting to save it. My teammates celebrated with like for me. I kind of just like had to keep the show going. It just kind of happened.
No, even Alex Morgan's face after, she's like smiling and laughing. I don't think it was a obviously it's disappointing to miss a penalty, but I think the moment wasn't lost on her. Even that this is kind of funny. It's a little funny. That's how I sort of took it.
I don't know.
She's like, I did my job. I
people love to talk about this with me. I'm like, I don't know. Like, yeah. It just happened. I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
your job is to save penalties. The penalty came up. You saved it. Good for you.
I get a guest star here as well.
Oh, so cute.
Because I know you have your puppy here as well. And this is the dog that is not necessarily the best therapy dog, but we're
working on
it. Yeah,
I would already have failed. It's like biting your hands.
Yeah.
Because I have treats.
It's the only way to get him on camera, though. So it's a lot like me. I also would have failed as a therapy dog.
Casey, I want to say thank you. Thank you so much for joining us, and we appreciate it. Is there anything you want to let people know, like where to follow or how to get involved in the soccer camp and the goalkeeping camp?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me on, guys. It was definitely one of my more fun podcasts to be a part of, so I appreciate that. I am hosting a clinic in Austin in November, end of November. So that's from ages 7 to 16. You can check it out on cmgksoccer.com. And so I hope to see you guys there if you're that age. And that's pretty much it.
Amazing.
Well, next for you is open an Italian restaurant in North Carolina. Make that money, bro.
Yeah, honestly, I should.
We got all the business plans for Casey Murphy.
Life after soccer.
Yeah, there you go.
Casey, figured out. Thank you so much. Best of luck with everything, your dog, and doing all the therapy. I'm gonna have to ask for a few pointers and see what I can do. This is Nutmeg, by the way.
That's so cute. Oh, thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Casey Murphy.
Shout out.
Jersey's awesome. Finest.
Exactly. Rutgers' very own.
A little too much dog in that conversation for me, but that's whatever. I'll complain. I sent my letter of complaint to Carter. Let's talk about this because as we started recording this, the USMNT roster dropped.
Exactly.
This is huge. Christian, you've been very vocal. I love this. You are not a huge fan of some of the experimentation going on, some of the testing happening, maybe not your best 11. Mauricio Pochettino seemingly does it again. I'm kind of excited about some of these additions. Are you a little bit upset about some of these snubs?
Or
omissions?
Tyler Adams not being part of the roster, you would imagine.
Need to make sure he's good enough for this team, right, Christian?
Is a rest thing, but we're playing against Ecuador and Australia. I'm not a huge fan of too much experimentation right now, but I am excited for the homie James Sands, who we were just hanging out with out in Hamburg. St. Pauli.
Tanner Tessman also getting an opportunity I'm really excited for. Haji right back, who's the top scorer in championship right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about that. There's some names here where I'm like, I really want to see what you can do. Maybe you'll be excited. I don't see Josh Sargent on here, so you must be excited.
Pretty. I mean, how could they omit my redheaded king,
the ginger of all time? Weston McKennie is involved.
Yes,
for Weston me, McKennie. The three people that I'm most excited to see. James Sands, Tanner Tessman, and Aiden Morris. And not because I think that's going to be the midfield that starts at a World Cup, but in order, and I think, you know, we're seeing this as rosters sort of develop, the more depth you have, the more the ability maybe to make some of those changes at halftime or in the second half where you can completely change the pace of a game by either adding some electricity or putting in some stability, right? Or we did it, now lock it down a little bit. That's going to be really helpful going into a World Cup. Having players like James Sands, I think James Sands has proven in Bundesliga that he is very good at moving forward.
He's at another
forward.
Level, yeah.
He's very good at moving forward. He can kind of play in that, I don't want to say box to box, but somewhere between a center back and a defensive midfielder that allows themselves to go forward a little bit. We're seeing that. Does that mean that's what he's going to do game one as a starter in the first 11 for the World Cup? Absolutely not. But can James Sands use that? Can Tanner Tessman use his ability to be a very stable presence in that midfield defensively as well? Can Zendejas, who's taking a lot of opportunities to try to prove it, wearing the U.S. Men's National Team shirt, his previous opportunities, he shined.
Mm-hmm.
Can we take that and say, yo, you can do something useful for us, even if it's for like 60 minutes across the entirety of the World Cup? I think that's worth having a player like that on the roster. And if it takes this experimentation to find that out, I'm all excited for it. And there's no other ways to know unless you bring them in for these camps. And that means you don't have to bring in one of the starters.
Sure. In theory, I mean, there's definitely some level, again, an experimentation with Josh Sargent is like one that I think is egregious, and we don't need to do that.
Yeah, lot of opportunities, and I think
I'm not mad about, like, you know, some of these calls. I'm not mad about Diego Luna getting more opportunities and maybe being a one of those starters.
Four goalkeepers is a weird one.
A lot of goalkeepers. Clearly all will not play. I would imagine only two are going to play.
Yeah. You ain't going to get a lot of burn if you four.
So, you would imagine here that obviously Freeze will not be starting both. But who's going to be that other one? Are you going to bring back Matt Turner? You give Schulte a shot. Brady seems to be the one. Chris Brady, the Chicago Fire goalkeeper, will most likely be the odd one out here. But it'd be interesting choice. It's hard to figure out what Pochettino is going to do or why he does the things that he does. But
I think this is the problem. I think you're such an Everton fan. You just don't understand the need for subs. You know, like, why we don't need players that are good enough back there.
We need to get...
It's your best 11, and that's really all we have.
Look, the best USMNT coach we could get is Sean Dyche. We all know this. Why won't people get on board?
There were so many people who wanted something like that that it really scared me. We would have had Dyche ball. But I think this is good. This is... Yes, okay, Ecuador is probably a high-level talent where I'm like, a high enough nation, where ranked nation, where I'm like, yo, I kind of want to see the best 11 go against them. But I kind of feel like...
And we don't have another international break till after... till January, right? Or something like that?
I don't think there's anything left in this...
Till January. So these are only... I'm just saying... The World Cup are going to be here any minute.
Yeah, but the 11 knows each other already, bro. I don't know. What are you gaining? I don't understand what you're gaining. Well, you really need to see our best 11 go against Australia? Or do you want to see, yo, what are these guys made out of that could fill out that roster?
First one. Yeah, the latter.
The
former.
I'm even more lost than I was when you started. I'm so it gets me so frustrated because I just don't even, I can't even wrap my mind around,
buddy,
for seeing the best 11 in a friendly, bro.
When we get grouped in the World Cup,
it's then, not going to be because of this.
You don't think so?
No, it got nothing to do with this.
All right, then. Go have fun. Go. Anybody wants to play, go. You're on board.
This is basically USMNT Rumspringa. And I'm saying, get out there and slut it up a little bit. Experiment.
Be a little whore. That's it. No one's going to judge.
You need to lick and suck something that you've never done before.
All right. Go ahead and sponsored by
that's brought to you by Valtrex.
All right. Let's a couple other things real quick before we wrap up. The US Open Cup final happened. Austin FC took on Nashville. Mm-hmm. Congratulations to Nashville, winning their first professional trophy.
This is Nashville as a city's first professional trophy in any sport.
No, Nashville apparently has no joy.
Damn. You never had a parade, Nashville?
Yeah, no reason to celebrate.
Great traveling support as well.
Yeah, that was great to see.
Shout out to my homeboy Bailey who was out there.
Okay. Shout out to Bailey.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude.
I don't know Bailey, but...
You know Bailey, dog.
Anyway. But there were some controversial calls. There were two penalties that probably, maybe you don't necessarily need them. Torrey Pinto, this was also a very cool thing. This was the first US Open Cup final that was an all female refereeing crew. Mm-hmm. Torrey Pinto was the center referee, and there were two penalties called in the game that not necessarily stone cold penalties and definitely not penalties. They were kind of like definitely subjective decisions. But the interesting one, and I felt bad for Austin FC because we obviously had Danny Pereira on the show a couple months ago, and he committed the foul that led to the game winning penalty, and it was a soft, it was like he was pulling the player in the box in a corner, and definitely soft. But the weird thing here is that the ref, Torrey Pinto, was warning them before the play. She's telling them, like,
hey,
cut it out.
You do this.
You do. And multiple times she's telling her. And then, it's one of those things where I forgot who was the player fouled, but he took advantage of, like, hey, I know that she's watching. And any kind of contact I feel, oh, you're holding me. And he felt, I mean, so immediately. It was very, very slight.
Yeah.
And if you're, I wouldn't call it, but if you're being told multiple times, don't do this, right, and you do it, and it's like, hey, now you're forcing me to punish you because you're gonna this make me, that. You're gonna make me look silly.
This is what my mom used to do when she was like, I gotta hate you now because I told you not to, and you did.
You're making me look like a fool.
Yeah.
In front of the other
you
parents.
You think I'm a sucker? Yeah. So, Tori Pencil got him by his shirt. You think I'm some kind of sucker?
I felt terrible for Danny Pineda and Brad Stuber, who both were on the show,
Shout out to Austin. We got a lot of friends in the organization.
Yeah. All love. And then,
can I tell you though who I'm most happy for? Hani Mukhtar.
Hani Mukhtar. Good for
him. You know why? This guy loves Nashville, bro. He got married in the stadium.
Look at that.
His wedding was in the stadium. This man is Nashville through and through. If I was getting remarried, I wouldn't do it in this studio. And I love. Okay?
Love the organization.
Yeah, beautiful. But yeah. I'm probably going to pick a wedding venue specific. This man is Nashville through and through. And he finally brought them a trophy.
Yeah, it's a great accomplishment. Hani Mukhtar, and also Sam Surge, who's having a fantastic season.
Who I thought was going to be an absolute bum. And yeah, look at this.
Nah, he's been fantastic.
A bum on the pitch. Not like I think he's a great guy, I'm sure. But I thought it wouldn't work out. And he's been having an absolutely
incredible.
Sure,
so shout out to Mike Jacobs, who's done the show, the GM. Yeah. For Nashville. And
who's the coach there, by the way?
BJ Callahan.
That's right. Come
on. Yeah, yeah. There's been a meme going around. I saw somebody post that. It said, I'm not the step coach. I'm the coach that stepped up.
which is the most cringe photo of all the people holding.
Sure.
All the kids holding
the one thing.
Jacket.
So trophy, like, you know, on the podium and stuff like that, Anthony Precourt and Don Garber were both on stage. And looking pretty unhappy, obviously. So I had taken, I got a screen grab of Precourt looking sad on stage, and I had posted, the Precourt curse continues. Austin FC fans.
I meant to hit this button.
Austin FC fans got the sort of the irony and the joke around it.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize how much of a sensitive, I guess maybe also losing in a final, there's not a sensitive
time.
Moment.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to me how much of a hot, like, what is it, hot rod or
hot button?
Hot button or something.
Yeah.
That it is still. It's
lightning
like
rod.
A lightning rod, right? Where it's,
hot rod.
I don't know. We're talking about. I got my Hot Wheels here. Yeah.
It's the pipes come out of the engine.
But Columbus and Austin fans still go at each other from time to time.
Right.
And there's a lot of people that are just like, I want Austin to never win. That's sort of the joke I'm kind of going in
no
on.
No breakfast tacos for you ever.
So apologies, but
I know we don't have a ton of time, but I do want to talk about Galatasaray and Liverpool.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, football gods, for giving me, as an Arsenal fan, just something to believe in this season. But let's talk a little bit about Jamie Carragher's comments. I know, like, you know, clearly there's some negativity being heaped on this team because they've had a little bit of a stutter.
Which is, it's still strange to me that you can even get that much vitriol out of a team that is incredibly successful.
Look, his comments about Florian Wirtz. Florian Wirtz, this is Jamie Carragher saying, Florian Wirtz needs to come out of the team. Liverpool need to go back to what they were last season and try to build some confidence and some defensive solidity because right now it just looks a mess. If you think about what he said, it feels harsh and pointed because he knows.
A mess is not the word I would use,
people,
but okay.
But he knows people are going to talk about it it's going to shine a light. But I will say he's kind of right in one sense. They did get better offensively without getting better stats. They've spent a lot more money on the attack. And defensively, they did get worse. So they're a little bit more susceptible to counterattacks and you know, they're not as strong defensively as they were last season. To some degree, I think Arne Slot is probably not going to have as fun a season as he had last season. I did think he would be a step up from Jurgen Klopp. I'm on record as having said that. And I did say he's probably going to have a sophomore slump. I think we're seeing the signs of that.
Sure, but I would love to have this slump that Liverpool are in right now. Like,
you can't look at everything through your Everton glasses, dog.
I mean, they're still having a fantastic year. But I understand Jamie Carragher.
They are in first place.
Yes, and I understand Jamie Carragher as a former player, former Liverpool player. He is going to point out and highlight players that he feels are underperforming. Florian Wirtz, given the money that you spend, you understand, easy to criticize.
But then,
can you ever live up to that kind of money anyway?
It's very, very hard. Yeah. But the and then the other thing is like the defensive issues. They can't blame Trent Alexander-Arnold anymore. So what is it now?
Who is it now?
Who is it now? Who's
Virgil Van Dijk too old? Is Konate doing some wild stuff out there?
Right, Konate, he has his issues. I mean, they were trying to get Mark Gaye and they couldn't, whatever. But that seems to have worked out for Crystal Palace very, very well.
But do you need Ekitike and Isak? No, dog. Why you spend all this money on that?
Exactly. So
your kids got no food, but you bought new rims.
So
this is my boy Pedro, by the way.
Fanway Sports Group doing that thing. Yeah. But having fun. All right, let's wrap it up there. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Shout out to Casey Murphy again for joining us on the show. We always appreciate it. Make sure you subscribe.
Hit the like button. Do all the things. If you see a button, click it.
Click it. All of them.
Go into the cockpit of an airplane and if you see a button, click it.
Smash a keyboard.
Yeah, dog. You don't need that.
It only helps us. So we'll see you on Monday with a brand new episode. And another reminder, we will be hosting a live show after the USMNT match against Ecuador on Friday, October 10th. Make sure you join us for that. All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Enjoy. I hope all your teams lose. Peace.
Love you guys.